John chapter 21. I want to thank you all very much for this wonderful privilege being here. And Bruce, thank you for that message. Oh, God bless you. Bless me through you. Always has, always does. And you too, Larry, Don. A fella stopped by the study Friday morning before I left and was talking about you. Said, well, I'd like to hear old Larry preach again. Said, boy, I'd love to hear him preach. So, you know, come up. And I love him, known him for a long time. And I hope that the Lord will be pleased to meet with us tonight. Got a lot of wonderful friends here, a lot of people that we've known and loved for many, many years. And want to be a blessing to one another, and ought to be a blessing if God will help us. Here in John's Gospel, chapter 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto him, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. And our Lord saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Then Jesus saith, come unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus cometh then, and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. You get my subject there in verse 1. And Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise, or in this way, he showed himself. After the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only way anyone could see him was by an act of his will. And he only revealed himself only to his people. And so many instances after his resurrection, like they were in a room and he appeared in the room, and he had to show them his hands and feet to show them. And here they didn't know him. Mary didn't know him when she was at the tomb looking for him. And the only way that they could ever see him was by an act of his will, making them to see him. Him revealing himself, and he only revealed himself to his people after his resurrection. And I say this now, that he only reveals himself to his people yet today. Only his people is the only one who sees him. And he shows himself to his people in his way and at his time. And that's what always happens. And like the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, they walked 7 miles with the Lord Jesus Christ and didn't know who he was in a 7-mile walk with him, until he sat down and broke bread and he opened their eyes, and they knew immediately that it was the Lord. They turned around and went back and said, we've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord. But there's ways that our Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself and makes himself known. And I'm going to give you a few of them here if I can. What time did he show himself to these disciples? Look down verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And so they all got together and they went forth and they entered into a ship. Seven of them. Seven disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. Six other fellows said, we'll just go with you. We'll just go too. And that night, watch what happens here. They caught nothing. You know when our Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself to people? After a night of failure. When everything's a failure. You labor in the dark. You're laboring in the night. You're out of here. When Simon Peter says, I'm going to go back fishing. It's not like you fellas said, I'm going to go fishing tomorrow afternoon. When Simon Peter says, I'm going to go back fishing, what he's saying is that I'm going back to my former occupation. This Jesus of Nazareth that I put all my hope and trust in. Said, I got to make a living. And so I'm going to go back doing what I did before. He called me to be a fisher of men. But I'm going to go back to what I did before. And James and John, you go with me. Thomas went with them. Oh, Nathaniel, with seven of them went. And so this is not like you or I. I go fishing. He is going back to his old ways. Instead of living by faith, Peter doing always true to his nature. So impetuous. So impulsive. He just jumped up and said, I'm going to go back fishing. I'm going to go back fishing. I'm going to go back to making a living. And they went, and what did it say there? They went forth immediately. They never once stopped and said, well, would it be the Lord's will? I thought the Lord told us to quit this fishing and follow him. I thought he told us to go preach the gospel. And here they went back fishing. And that's what he called them. They went back to their reasoning of nature. And here's what they did. They went out at night, laboring in the dark. And without Christ, everything we do is in the dark. You go to your carnal reasoning and your natural reasoning and your rationality, and the next thing you know, you're in the dark. And our Lord, let me tell you something. He didn't appear to them when it was dark. He didn't come to them at night. He waited till the morning came. And they had to learn, and they had to go, and after all night long, fishing all night, and had caught nothing, absolutely nothing, they had to learn by experience what our Lord said to them in John 15:5. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Now that's what he means. That's a hard lesson to learn, but we learn that. And he says, you go, fellas are going to learn. You go out and go fishing. He said, what have you caught? Nothing. And he says, without me, you can do nothing. And all, beloved, without our Lord Jesus Christ, everything's a failure. It's bound to fail. It's already failed. Don't attempt a moment without the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people think that their life has been a success and they have their money and they have their cars and they have their homes and they have their vacation homes and they have all kinds of material possessions and they're successful and they're lauded and they're praised and they're great successful, but we'll find out at the last day their whole life has been nothing but a failure. Everything they've got has amounted to nothing. That everything they've got absolutely will, as Henry Mayan said one time, the day will come down that money will be as worthless as toilet paper when a fella comes time to face God, and he, no matter what he's got, it'll be nothing. And that's what these fellas done. God help us never, never to attempt anything without our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, what? Get up in the morning and say, Lord, this is your day. Give it to me as you seem good. This is your night. Give it to me as you seem good. They're my children. Do with them as it seemed good to you. I tell you, my children and my grandchildren, they don't deserve anything from the hand of God. They've got this, they think that they got everything that they need and they're doing what they want to do. And they do everything they do. No matter what you say to them, they go on without Christ. They keep saying, Poppy, I know, Poppy, I know, Poppy, I know. No, they don't know. If they ever knew, they'd do it. But look what happens in verse 4. They went out at night and they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, when they were all a failure, when they had caught nothing, when those other six men followed impulsive, impetuous Peter, the sun come up, and guess who come up with it? You know, weeping endureth for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And here our Lord Jesus, here he comes. And he's standing there on the seashore. And he stood on the shore. Now look what it says there. But disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Oh my, knew not that it was Jesus. He was there, but the disciples knew him not. And what a sad, sad, sad state of heart. Not to recognize their master, to get so taken up with their life, with their fishing, and with their past life, and their faith, and all that they was doing, to not recognize the Lord Jesus Christ standing there on the seashore. Look over here in John 20, verse 19 with me for just a moment. Oh, my. It says here in verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Now watch what it says here. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They all got behind locked doors, Don. Scared to death of the Jews and what the Jews were going to do to them. You were followers. This man's a follower of Jesus. And Simon Peter said three times, No, I don't know that fella. I don't know that fella. And now they were scared of the Jews. And they, beloved, after walked with our master for 3 years, after they had heard him preach, and there they was assembled inside doors because they was afraid of the Jews. And our Lord then came and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Oh my, what a message. When you're standing there scared to death and he comes and said, peace be unto you. But when men have failed miserably, when men have failed miserably, and oh, and it's the darkest night and there ain't nothing going on and you got nothing but zero after zero after zero. How many, if you had 1, 2, 3 zeros, what would you have? If you had 1, 2, 3, 6 zeros, what would you have? 1, 2, 3, 9 zeros, what would you have? But you put one in all them zeros, and then the zeros become worth something. And that's what our Lord Jesus does. He takes all these zeros, all this failure, and makes it worth just that one, just him by himself. Bless his holy name. Oh my. When we fail, he brings the morning with him. Mary, when her heart was immersed in sorrow, occupied with death, and the Lord Jesus appeared to her, and she thought he was the gardener. And then our Lord Jesus says unto her, Mary, oh, that does a sweeter verse of scripture in the Bible. Mary's standing there and she's weeping and she's weeping and she's weeping. Christ, she went to the tomb and he was gone. She's going all over the place looking for his body. The angel said he's not here. And there's a man standing there and she's saying, boy, this is the gardener. Maybe she knows. He's the one taking care of this. Maybe he knows where she's at. Where he's at. Said, Lord, she said, sirs, if you've taken away my Lord, show me where you've laid him, and I'll go. I'll take him any way I can get him, on any terms I can get him on. Just tell me where he's at. And our Lord Jesus says, Mary. She said, Master! That's the first thing she said, Master! And she started to get down. Oh, men, when they return to their worldly callings, occupied with the bodily needs, here these men were, and they didn't recognize their Savior. And sometimes, I hope you're not like this. I hope you're not like this. Sometimes we get so taken up, I do, with things that absolutely, when it's all said and done, don't mean anything. But you get so occupied, you get caught up in other people's problems and your kids' problems and your finances and your sickness and your and things of this life and your property and houses and keeping things up and cars and all that. Next thing you know, you don't recognize the Lord. That's why going to these meetings is so wonderful. That's why it's so wonderful. You know, these men get up and they preach in such a way, they preach in such power, and they bring our hearts and they bring our minds and our souls back to the things that's so necessary, the things that we desperately, desperately have to have, and brings us and focus us back once again. As old Scott Richards said, we're not mules, but if we was, we'd want blinders on so we couldn't see nothing but Christ. Huh? And then it says in verse 1, look at, he came to them at a night after a night of failure when they had taken nothing. Here's the second thing, the way he manifested himself, showed himself to them on this wise. Look what he says in verse 5. They said, then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They said, no. They're going to confess that they ain't got nothing. He's going to lead them to confess their failure. You got anything to eat? You catch anything? Got anything to do? No, they answered, no. They had taken nothing. They said, we've taken nothing. We failed. You listen to me. Our Lord knew they hadn't taken anything. Our Lord was. That's why when our Lord asks questions, he's not asking for information. He's not asking for information. He said, Adam, where are you? He asked Adam where Adam was so that Adam would know where Adam was. And when he said, how can a man be just with God? He asked that question for giving us information to make revelations to our heart. And he said, have you taken anything? They said, no. And he asked that question so that they would understand in their own hearts how useless life is without him, no matter what you do. No matter, these fellows had fished all their lives what they know. And yet, beloved, without Christ and out of the will of Christ and away from Christ, they took nothing. And he says, you're going to own up you ain't got nothing. You're going to confess it that you didn't do any good. And I tell you, beloved, there was no use pretending they had something. And that's just the way, oh, God help us to do this. There's no use us pretending we've got something when we don't. Beware of misrepresentation. Beware of exaggeration. Oh, we don't want to have to profess more than we got. I tell you what, I've done. I've made promises to myself that I ain't never been able to perform. Have you ever done that? Made promises to yourself you couldn't perform? And then look what happens. What he says here now in verse 6. Now he's going to try their faith. Made them admit and confess their failure. You got any meat? No. He said unto them, well, cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. Now remember, they don't know this is the Lord. It's a man standing on the seashore. Cast your net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. Wondrous sovereign of the sea. Oh my, cast your net on the right side of the ship and you will find. Oh, isn't this the God-man who knows all, sees all, has all power? Cast your net. Well, you know, they could have said, now, wait a minute. We've been out here fishing all night. And we know how to drop nets. We know how to fish. And there ain't a bit of sense putting this net back in the water. We ain't took nothing. We're wore out. We're going to go home and go to bed. Our Lord said, and as far as they didn't know it's Christ yet, they said, just cast your net over on the right side. He didn't say, put it on the back, go to the left, move the boat just a little bit over there. I mean, they're going to do what he said, cast your net. Whoop, over went that net. And look what it says next. They cast therefore and were now not able to draw for all the fishes. Oh my. This is the only miracle recorded after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ here when he said, cast your net on the right side of the ship. These men had fished all their lives, caught nothing, but they heard that voice of certainty, that voice of power, that voice of authority, and they said, oh, listen, let's throw it in, and off away they went. And our Lord Jesus Christ is so gracious, so blessedly gracious and kind and pitiful and merciful. He brings something out of these men who had nothing. Ain't that what he does with us? As you said tonight, said we're all fallen in Adam. By one man's disobedience, we became sinners. Now how in the world have we become sinners? How in the world are we going to be made righteous? Our whole life is a failure without Christ. How does our Lord Jesus Christ, He comes and He restores that which He took not away. He didn't. He gave us a righteousness. He gave us an obedience. He gave us a life. He gave us a salvation that we couldn't produce. We toiled all our lives in the dark. And He says, now I'm the light of the world, and he that walketh in me shall not walk in darkness, but shall walk in the light. And all, beloved, they obeyed His word, and look what happens to the results. Look what happens, and they go out of that, and then look at verse 7. That disciples that whom Jesus loved, always says that about John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. People talks about loving the Lord. I tell you what, I get more comfort in Him loving me than I do loving Him. But He said, whom Jesus loved, said, Peter, I know who that is. I know who that is. Ask the Lord. That's the Lord, Peter. Oh, who else could do this? Who else would know we took nothing? Who else could tell us to cast the net on the right side? Who else could do this? Who else could take the weak to confound the mighty? Who else could take the foolish to confound the wise? And beloved, when we failed miserably, that's when our Lord Jesus Christ comes and shows Himself. And this is just like our blessed Master. Quit laboring for nothing. Believe His word. Look what it said over here in John 20 and verse 30. Just believe His word. John 20 and verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But what is written? These are written. Everything that's been written. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. That's why He wrote this blessed book. That's why He gave it to us for. And old John recognized Him. Now you watch what happens, what Simon Peter does. Now Simon is true to his nature. Oh, you find him sometimes. But now what he said, when Simon Peter heard that in verse 7, he is naked. Now he is out there fishing naked. Didn't have a spot of clothes on him. And just as quick as John said, that's the Lord, he grabbed his fisher's coat, throwed it on him. Now here's the man that had denied the Lord three times. Here's the man that our Lord Jesus Christ looked at. He's looked over. It tells us over in Luke 24:62, I think it is, or 23:62, that our Lord Jesus Christ turned around and there was, and he looked at Simon Peter when the third time that he denied him, he saw it turn around and he saw it. He went out and he wept and cursed bitterly. Now this is the fellow that done all that. But now just the minute that he heard the Lord. Now this is what grace does for your heart. This is what grace does whenever you... I don't care what happens to a believer. Simon Peter throwed that coat on and he wasn't going to wait for the ship to get there. You fellas take care of the fish in the boat. I'm going to go to the Lord. I'm going to go get to Him. I got to get to Him. Now with all of his sin and with all of his failure, he still knew that Christ would take him just as he is. He did not stay away from Christ. That's why I never have had any confidence. Now, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I wouldn't hurt your feelings for nothing. But when folks start having troubles, and when they start having aggravation, or they start having things going on, the first thing they want to do is stay home and not come hear the gospel. And when I get in trouble, that's exactly where I want to go. Or I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to let somebody know, say, if you pray for me or do, you know, I've got to be with the Lord's people. And that's why Simon Peter says, he said, well, Simon, I wouldn't go up there if I was you. Look what you've done. You denied him three times. You went out and wept and cursed bitterly. And you took all these fellas and you took them back fishing with you. I'd be ashamed to go to the presence of the Lord. Well, where in the world else is he going to go? He's a sinner. Where else is he going to go? And oh my, it's like that Samaritan woman. He left the fish and he left everything. He left all them other disciples. I want my master. I want to get into my master. It's like that Samaritan woman. She left her water pot and said, come see a man. And then look what our Savior done down here in verse 9. They brought all them fish. And they got down there, and it says there in verse 9, "And as soon as they come to land, they saw a fire of coals thereon, and fish laid thereon, and bread." Now, where in the world did he get fish? Where did he get bread? And where did he get a fire? These fellas, he knows they're hungry. They've been out all night. And just like our blessed master, where did he get that fire? You reckon he rubbed sticks together, had a match, struggled? No. He was the same one that was in that burning bush when Moses stood there in his presence. I mean, beloved, there's the fire. And there's some fish and there's some bread. Where'd the fish and the bread come from? From the same place he feeds us every single day. It comes from his blessed hand to our mouth. And you imagine, they got up there and they starved to death. And I tell you what, these fellas, and they get up there and there's fire. And this is exactly what our Lord fed the multitude with, fish and bread. Where in the world did the fire and the fish and bread come from? It wasn't no great feast. But it's what the Lord provided. And it was sufficient. Huh? And I tell you what, he saw some of his sheep just like without a shepherd, and he says, like David said, "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, and because he's his sheep, they shall not want." And then look what he says to them in verse 12. Not only did he reveal himself as their provider, their sustainer, and meets all their needs and provides their bodily needs, but look what it says here. "And he saith unto them, come down." Y'all sing that song, "Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. We may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Oh, come and dine." Best I can do. Say, stick to preaching. But all, listen to what he says here. "Come and dine." He saith unto him, "Come and dine." And he takes that bread. Look what he says here now. And they, none of them dare ask him, "Who are you?" They wasn't going to ask him. They knew that it was the Lord. You know, the Lord reveals himself in such a way that you know that it's him. You know it's him. There's no doubt about it. There's no question in your mind that this is of the Lord. This is the Lord's providing. This is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's way of dealing with me. This is the Lord's way of revealing himself. This is the Lord's way of meeting my need. And then he says, "Come and dine." So they didn't ask him. And then look what happens. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread. He's the master. He's the Lord. And he's going to feed his sheep from his own hand. He took the bread. And what did he do? Says, he gave it to them. He didn't say, "Fellas, here's some bread. Reach and get you some." He took the bread and said, "Here." I'm telling you, beloved, this shows us that our master has to do it all for us. He took the bread and he gives to them. Then he took the fish and he done likewise. Done likewise. And our Lord has a way of giving whereby he makes himself known. The law demands, as Bruce says, but Christ gives. Grace gives. Christ gave himself. And oh, let me show you one other thing, and I'm done. Look down in verse 20. Oh, they sat and they eat. They had fellowship. Simon Peter, our Lord, told him three times to feed my sheep. You deny me three times, you feed my sheep three times. Gave him three commandments. Told him how he's going to die. Then they got down there, and then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple, John, whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayed thee?" John asked the Lord Jesus, "Who is he? Which one of them betrayed you?" And Peter, seeing him, said that to the Lord Jesus and said, "Lord, what shall this man do? Who betrayed you? What shall he do?" Now look what our Savior said. Jesus saith unto them, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to thee? Follow thou me." John and Peter have already forgot what a sad state they was in, and now they're worried about something somebody else is going to do. What's going to happen to that fella that betrayed you? What's going to happen to him? And our Lord Jesus says there's one thing you ought to be concerned with. My will and following me. If I will that he tarry till I come, that ain't got a thing in the world to do with you. Nothing to do with you. Huh? Follow thou me. Follow thou me. And all beloved do, and they followed them. Followed our blessed master. Things was well from then on. Well from then on. May Christ show himself, reveal himself. He has ways of doing it that you know it is him. Thank you, preacher. Thank you, dear saints. Appreciate you very much.